Guys know, a little reminder that next week our new times start for our service. So our fellowship time will be from 10:40 or 10:45 to 11:05. So if you want to fellowship before church, you know, we're starting next week at 11:05 for our 11 o'clock hour. And then again, we'll have our first song, 20 minutes of teaching, second song, and 20 minutes of teaching after that, and our third song. So if you want to fellowship for before the 11 o'clock hour, if you don't come to the 10 o'clock hour, it's going to be between 10:40 and 11:05 or 10:45 to 11:05, and then you'll have to fellowship after church if you want to do that. As we're starting next week right at 11:05 for our 11 o'clock hour. Any questions on that? No?
And so we'll start earlier for Sunday school here too?
Yeah. Yep, so let me know later than right now, 10:05, 10:10. That's 5 minutes fast, that clock up there. Okay. So it is not 10:16. It's probably 10:10. Yeah.
10:11.
There you go. Dave, will you pray for us?
Sure. Well, Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings that you bring to us. We thank you that you love us, that you love us enough that you gave your son to die for us, that we might have eternal life with you. And we are so blessed by that. Father, teach us how to walk each and every day loving you in the same way that you love us. We just ask that you be with us throughout this day and throughout the week to come. Bless Jesse as he teaches, and bless him in his study for next week. We just ask this through your son's most precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right. We're continuing on in our, just basic Bible doctrines, and we're kind of going through different letters on seeing what things stay the same in the basic doctrines and what things start changing. I'll kind of give you a preview. We really don't see the teaching of the mystery of Christ until a little later in Paul's ministry. It isn't the focus right away. It slowly develops over time. We really see it really playing out in Ephesians. So it slowly progresses from who we are in Christ, basic behavior, to who we are in Christ, and how Jew and Gentile are kind of one, that mystery. And we see a little bit in Galatians, but then it really takes off later in Ephesians and other areas. But that being said, we'll continue on here in 1 Corinthians. We've talked about one of the first doctrines that Paul talked about was the day of the Lord. Whether it's the rapture or the judgment seat of Christ, and like we've already cleared up before, you can have the church's position as pre-tribulation rapture, which means the saints get caught up before the seven-year actual literal tribulation. You don't have to have that view. The main thought is this. Whatever view that you take, pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, whatever view you take, there's going to be a judgment after that. You're going to be judged on your works since you've been saved. So whatever view you have doesn't matter as far as at the end of the day when you die, you're going to be judged. At the end of the day, if you don't die and you're raptured at whatever period you choose to believe in, you're going to be judged. So either whatever stance you take, there's going to be a judgment. That's the main takeaway from that. Talked about the Holy Spirit being in us, being sealed. Talked about Paul made it clear on their purpose for living, was to glorify God in their body and their spirit. We talked about, did we get to serving others last week? Did we get to serving others as a doctrine? Did, okay. Talked about a main theme so far, main doctrine of serving others. And did we get to unity last week? No? All right. So a main common basic Bible doctrine is unity. All right. Now, when we talk about unity, it's not so much me, how do I say this? Yes, it's not just me saying yes to propositional statements. We believe, we believe, we believe. It's more on, not more on, but it's more about, it's more about the love of Christ that I have in me, yielding to the Holy Spirit to help someone else in their walk in the Spirit, right? So we're unifying in doctrinal truths in the Lord, more on being submissive, and more on, Lord, how can you use me and my gift to bring out you and someone else? So how can you use my gift, Lord, to bring out you in someone else? And that's unity. We're unifying around yielding to Christ's spirit, yielding to who he is, okay? And that's the main focus at Corinth. We'll go to 1 Corinthians. And let's go to chapter number 12. The Corinthians are having a hard time understanding why they have their gifts. They know they have them. They're using them. And you can actually use your gift, or at least the Corinthians were able to use their gifts in the wrong way. So along with that, it would be the wood, hay, stubble. I'm using my gift, but I'm showing off that I have the gift of tongues, right? I'm showing off that I've never learned Greek. I've never been taught it. And yet when I received Christ, I was able to speak Greek. That's our stance also. It's not gibberish, things we don't understand. In Acts chapter 2, when you see the very first time tongues are given, it's how hear we every man in our language the wonderful works of God. Right? So there are established languages that I never learned Spanish. Yet when I received Christ, I can speak Spanish fluently. Right? So that's the gifts. So they're having a hard time understand how to properly use these. They're misusing them. And so at this time, all these works that were done, not saying the Corinthians can't change their heart, change their behavior about this. And after this, when they get right with the Lord, it's gold, silver, precious stone. But the works previous will be burned, wood, hay, stubble. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll just start in verse 4. There are various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are various operations, but it is the same God who operates all of them in all people. Notice who operates the gift. It's God. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the common good. So I have a gift, the Corinthians. They have a gift for the common good, right? To one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, various kinds of tongues, and other interpretation of tongues. But, verse 11, the one and very same Spirit works all these, dividing to each one individually as he will. You're going to start seeing something amazing. God is operating the gifts. We just now saw in verse 11 that the Holy Spirit gives as he wills to individuals. God operates, Holy Spirit gives. Let's keep on looking here. Okay, I'm going to skip some verses just for sake of time. Let's look at verse 18, 12:18. But now God has established the parts to every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. So God has given these gifts. God's working them. Holy Spirit gives them. God gives them. So you notice how God and Holy Spirit are both divine and both are in cooperation with these gifts. What Paul is doing is really highlighting who's in charge of giving the gift and who should be in charge, or who the focus should be on, rather, while I'm using my gift. Because before, they were using it for self-glory. Before, they were saying, I have this gift, I'm with this group, look at me. Causing division. Okay, causing separation. So we're going to see now these gifts are given by God, the Holy Spirit, okay, as it's pleased them. Let's bump down to verse 24. Whereas our most respectable parts have no need of this, but God has composed the body, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks it. Why? So that there should be no division in the body, but that the parts should have the same care one for another. Okay? No division. No division at all. It's to come together. Right? What were they doing? I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. Well, I'm of Jesus. And in those sections, they had their own gifts. I have knowledge. Well, I have wisdom. Well, I can speak in tongues. Well, I can interpret tongues. So even more division, right? And so Paul's clarifying, hey, God's given these gifts. The Holy Spirit's given these gifts to bring us together in him. Okay? bring us together in Him. Chapter 13, all about love. Using your gift. I know sometimes we default and use this for a wedding chapter on love. I'm not really a fan of that usually, personally, but don't let my biases, you know, change your thoughts on it. This love here has to do with understanding the gift that's been given to me by God freely, as it has pleased Him, to love everyone in the body. So I have this gift, and I love you, 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 because I love the Christ that's in you. And so now I want to bring us together, okay, in the same belief system towards Christ. That's the goal. That's the plan. Okay? And if I don't have love, it's not going to really mean anything. Okay? My pastor, my mentor, my one that taught me at the Bible school I went to, he needed some help with a task. And it had to be in the evening. And he was asking for some volunteers, and no one was volunteering. So finally, about a week later, I said, "Hey, I'll do it." He said, "Wonderful. Why? Why do you want to help me?" And I said, "Because no one else is." He says, "Okay, you can't help me." I said, "But I'm not to my wife. It's okay." He says, "Nope, you have the wrong heart." I said, "Okay, do tell. Explain." Says, if you would have said, "Hey, the Lord spoke to my heart, or I've been praying about this, but you're just doing it because no one else is," that's the wrong motive. That's the wrong motive. "I don't want your help, that's your motive." But, whoa, okay, it kind of set me back a little bit on the hard issue. I didn't mind doing it, but it wasn't like the Lord said, "Yes, I want you to do this." My thought was, "No one else is, therefore I'll step up." And He said, "Nope. Just to get things done, most of the time, not the right attitude to have." Whoa. If no one else will, because you got to watch that. No. If God isn't leading you, there is a reason why. Maybe He doesn't want you to do it, because you have other things that He's preparing you for that would be used during this time. So he was really smart and wise on helping me understand, being really open to the Holy Spirit's leading, open to God using that to guide and direct my life, and not being just cut and dry, black and white, "Well, no one else is, so I'm going to." These gifts are given not to say, "Well, I have the gift of tongues, so I need to help you, Don. I mean, this is what I got to do." No, if I don't do it in love, hey, I'm excited. The Lord is in me. I'm excited about being born again. I desire to love you and to help us come together in love for Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is about. If I don't have love for it, there's no value in it. Wood, hay, stubble, it's going to burn, right? If I have to come to church because, man, we've always done this, if I don't go, then something negative comes after that. And what will Pastor Jesse think? What will they think? Then, man, we have the wrong heart, don't we? We have the wrong heart. So we got to change that. The Corinthians had to change that. All right? So we see serving others. We see unity being done. Let's go over to, let's see. Doing it out of love. We also see here in chapter 16. Any questions on it before we move on, though? Moving kind of quick on you. Any questions on that? Go ahead, Don.
Not on that.
Fire away.
My son called me here. I was driving home here 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking to somebody, and I don't know if it was his pastor or whatever, but he had questions on various spiritual gifts that have ceased. And he's confused as to, are they no longer needed, or why are some gifts still available today that we need and use and others are not? Or are they all still available? If so, why aren't we speaking in tongues? You know, I didn't have a good answer for him. I said, I don't know. I will ask, and here we are on this today.
Yeah.
So I don't want to take us off on a rabbit trail, but if that, do you think that's worth apply or looking at right now.
Sure.
Anyhow.
Yep.
Tongues and healings, those are the two that he mentioned, that you don't see people laying hands on people and healing them like we saw in the New Testament here, and also speaking in tongues.
Yep. So let's just take a really far, far, far step back. So the question's about what gifts are used for today? Now, we're specifically talking about tongues and healing. What books do you see tongues and healing in? Because they're not in all of them.
Corinthians, obviously.
Corinthians, good. What other books do you see it in? If any.
Acts,
okay. Beginning there in Acts, good. What other books do we see tongues? What books do we see gifts even mentioned? What books do we see gifts even mentioned? Romans 12, right? Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. Ephesians, right? Chapter 4. So we have three books. Go ahead, Joe.
One thing I noticed is we don't see it in Paul's letters to Timothy. Mm-hmm. And Paul specifically tells Timothy, like, hey, if you're having a stomachache, take some wine. Like, that's not healing. You could have easily, like, assuming that the gift was still present or still being used, you could have easily just said, hey, have somebody lay hands on you and heal you for your stomach. Mm-hmm. But he didn't.
Right. Exactly. So we see a few instances, right? So not every, so when we say New Testament, what group in New Testament? Philippians don't have it, right? Thessalonians don't have it. Go ahead, Dave.
It may not be that they don't have it, it may be that they're not misusing it. What we do know is that Paul did not correct them about it. Mm-hmm. So we don't know if they had it or if they didn't.
Thank you for clarifying. I wasn't specific on where do we see the gifts mentioned. So it's not mentioned in 1 Thessalonians. It's not mentioned in Philippians. Absolutely, could have had them. It's just not mentioned there. So they don't have it as far as it's not there. But I guarantee you everyone has gifts. But what, go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. I just wanted you. Anyway, when we were talking about this last week, you said that, or maybe it was later, you said that the gifts are given to edify the body. So, and if God gives them and he uses them to uplift the body, then we don't need tongues maybe today so much, you know, because we're communicating all over the world. I think healing still exists because I've prayed for people who shouldn't be here, and they were healed.
Okay.
You know, so, but it's, I mean, it wasn't laying on hands.
Right.
So am I taking us up on another ride?
Yep.
Okay.
So we have to differentiate. Go ahead, Rick.
There's several instances of, you know, misusing of gifts mentioned throughout the Bible. And the one that's coming to mind for me is the arrow of the law. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you kind of expand on that?
Go ahead. Take it away.
No, I'd like to hear kind of what your thoughts are.
In Acts?
Yeah.
Which chapter?
Well, Balaam was the prophet that was, he was using his gifts to try to make a profit from it, and God wasn't allowing it to work. I think he was the one that had the talking donkey. Is that right?
Right. So we're going through the Old Testament now.
Well, New Testament too, if you look at Jude 10 and Revelations, the heir of Balaam is mentioned several times.
Okay. So, excellent. Well, let's back up. Boop, 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 boop. Okay? So, when gifts are given, when do we see the first sign of any gift being given?
When Jesus sent the disciples out.
In Acts.
In Acts? Acts what? Okay, so all we know was Acts 2, the Jews that were there, right, that had just got done killing Jesus, 50 days before. The Jews that were there, okay? Proselytes from areas around. All we know is that when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, right? They were able to speak their language. That's it. And they were able to do some healing, right? Peter's shadow crossing by people would heal people, right? So we have that. At that time, for 8 years, only Jews were receiving Christ. Okay, go ahead, Rick.
But it's the same Spirit. I mean, it's the gifts of the Spirit, but it's the same Spirit. That was my point when I was bringing it along. Mm-hmm. I know it's not the same gifts that Jesus is allowing the Spirit to give us now. Okay? Those are clear that you just read them.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, okay. Let's go context. What gifts are being used to what group at what time? What gifts are being used to what group at what time? All right. Peter doesn't talk about gifts. When Peter is in charge of the church to the Jews, he doesn't mention gifts at all. Okay, to them. When the church first starts, right, before the Gentiles get any kind of gospel to them. For 8 years, only Jews are getting saved. 8 to 10, roughly. So there's a whole lot of gifts talked about, right? There isn't a whole lot of gifts being talked about. Now, it's the same Spirit in them, but we start seeing it developed through Paul and his ministry, right? James, to the book to the 12 tribes of Israel, the first New Testament epistle written, right? We don't see anything on gifts there, right? It's on tongue, on you talking bad about someone, your pride, or different things like that, right? Having a worldly wisdom, having godly wisdom. So, all I'm saying is this. When the gifts start really coming out in the church, which is going to be Jew and Gentile, both coming together, right, the mystery that Paul talks about, we start seeing that kind of more and more developed. Okay, it's a new thing, isn't it? It's a new thing for the church to experience, for born-again believers have the Holy Spirit in them, and now I've received something that I've never had before. So it's kind of cool, right? I'm receiving something I never had before. I was given by the Holy Spirit. I'm unlearned about how to use it. And in and of myself, being a young believer, even as an adult, I'm misusing it. Right? So I got to train it. I got to train this. Like I got to work some things out of my mindset to be able to go forward and walk in the Spirit the correct way. So these gifts were given to unify and edify the body together. Right? To grow and to help out. It says in 1 Corinthians that prophesying will cease and tongues will cease when that which is perfect has come. That's what we don't know what that is, right? What is that complete thing that's going to come? Some people believe that it's the known world getting the gospel, okay? Some people think it's the Word of God being canonized. I don't believe that myself personally. That wasn't on their mind, having their letters together. But something's going to be completed to where prophesying and tongues are going to stop. Now, there are times when Paul could not heal people. Paul had the gift of healing, right? He healed several people. There were times when Paul was around sick people that he could not heal them. Why is that? Interesting, isn't it? Go ahead, Joe.
Would the answer be related to 1 Corinthians 12, like 23-25?
Good, fire away.
Those parts of the body which we think are less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less respectable parts are treated with much more respect. Whereas our more respectable parts have no need of this, but God has composed the body, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that the parts should have the same care for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems to flow right in line with why we see less gifts with a more unified church.
Yep, so we have the church coming together for the first time, right? So they need training wheels. They need training wheels. They need to experience things, right? Now, the next step, all right, after we understand what gifts are given to what group at what time, the next step is what gifts are given as a whole and what things are just miracles that God performs. Two different things. Is it a gift given to where I can go to Rick, put my hands on him, and his brain tumor goes away instantly? Or is it, hey, we can't do it in our power, but I am praying that God performs a miracle outside of a gift, and God does it with no gift? Right? Those are two different things. So if I go to Africa, and I'm on the jungles there, and I can't speak Swahili, But the gift of tongues hasn't been distributed, which in order to have the gift of tongues, you need an interpreter, because not everyone that speaks it knows what they're saying. Booyah. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the gift of Swahili, but man, I am praying, Lord God, this person's open, they can't understand my English very well, can you allow me to talk to them? And either A, they understand what I'm saying through English and they receive Christ, or B, I can speak Swahili to them and they receive Christ. Now, it's not an administered gift, but can God perform a miracle at one time? Two different things, right? Are both, I believe now the miracles are more prevalent, but not through an administered gift. Does that make sense? So we've got to be careful of that, okay? Because if you have the gift of healing, you can heal anybody. You can heal. So if not everyone's being healed, A, what's changed? Because Paul, over time, lost that ability. He was with people that were sick. He couldn't heal them. Prior to that, he healed everyone. What changed? Over time, the gospel got more and more established, right? His time was coming to an end. He's passing things on to Timothy. Timothy couldn't heal people that we know of. So what's changing? What's happening, right? So what gifts do we have today? I would say most of the sign gifts being administered as a whole are gone. But for your button, homie, I will say God can use someone to work a miracle. Yes. Yes, I do believe that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think ego can get in people's way? You know, thinking that they're the almighty one and they have the control. Or really it's God that has the control, not you. So their ego within their self saying I'm better or whatever. Would probably be a problem having to be able to heal somebody or do whatever.
That may be true nowadays. It didn't stop them here because they had their ego involved in misusing their gift, mm-hmm. right? So they had an ego, they were proud and arrogant, and they were still able to use their gift. So Paul had to correct them on, hey, this is why we do that, yeah. You know. But maybe today that's possible. Yeah. No, so here's what I'm looking for. When I go to a church and they think that they have tongues, I'm looking for a handful of things. Number one, okay, they need to have three men that can interpret. Women are to keep silent in the church in context and speaking out loud in an unknown language. So if a woman speaking in tongues, I know number one, that's not of God. Number one, I know that. If I don't see three men interpreting what another man is saying, I know it's not of God. Because it's saying to do things decent and in order at Corinth. Corinth is the only one that gets these training wheels on how the stuff should be done. So if I go to a training wheel church and I don't see the training wheels being done, I'm going to go, not of God, not of God, not of God. Why? Because we have the layout. They know if someone's going to say something in an unknown tongue, it can't be gibberish. It's got to be, hey, I can interpret German. I can interpret Japanese. I can interpret, you know, Spanish. Okay, say it. Not only that, but you need three interpreters. You need three of them to agree. I have not seen that. So until I see that, I go, probably not true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I met a minister in my water calling deliveries that is changing the words now. It's not speaking in tongues, now it's praying in tongues, and I still don't know what that means. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. That's just my experience with it.
Right. I was talking to someone the other day, in church or out of church?
Out.
Out, awesome. And they are hung up on certain things. And I tell them, okay, let's just say that that's true. Now what? Now what? If this is going to be your red button issue, if you're going to be like digging your heels in on this, awesome. Now what? Does it change you walking in the Spirit, having the fruit of the Spirit, walking in love, witnessing, being faithful, committed? Does it change anything?
It's nothing to do with salvation.
Right, yeah.
No, I'm not going to, you know, disagree with you. I just, inside, you know, I don't have the apologetics to defend my faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you see praying in tongues, they're praying at church because there's no interpreter. They keep it to themselves. Right? There's no reason, because the whole point was this church was outside, and if people walking by, just keep on reading, chapters 12, 13, 14. People are walking by, seeing it out of control, it's going to give Christ a bad testimony. So I said, if there's no interpreter, just pray to yourself quietly. It's better that you do it quietly to yourself with no interpreter than to be all, you know, acting like crazy people on these different stuff, and people walk by and go, what's happening over there? Right? Because they're not doing it for God, they're doing it for themselves. They're doing it out loud. I'm speaking in German out loud for me. At Corinth, which was a big trading area, right? It was right in the middle of you know, there was a sea on both sides of the town. So it's a big trade area where people of different languages would come there. But if you look at what tongues and prophesying were for, the whole point of it, Paul says it's better to prophesy than speak in tongues. Prophesying edifies the body. Seek to prophesy, not to even speak in tongues. I mean, if we just keep on reading, you know, does chapter 14, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, although the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks to men for their edification and exhortation and comfort. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But the point is what? Edifying the body. So if you... What's that? Bingo. Exactly. Go ahead, Jim.
What do you say?
Prophecy mentioned in verse 1 there. That's not necessarily like foretelling future events prophecy, right?
Forthtelling.
It can be.
Right, but not necessarily.
No, most of it is forthtelling. So I have these truths. I know I have biblical understanding, and I'm saying things to someone for the first time that they don't know. So you're prophesying to someone when you tell them about Jesus Christ, because they don't know it.
So it's divine revelation, not necessarily future telling.
No, yeah, it's forthtelling. So I'm speaking forth that which I know that you don't know. It's being revealed to you for the first time. So
I would think that if we had prophets here today that were standing in front of us and we were to ask them of, you know, biblical sense, they would say that their gift would be considered a blessing and a curse, because it is being used by God through them and not, you know, standing up and saying, look at me, look what I got.
Right. Absolutely. 100%. Because we see clearly what prophesying is for: edification, exhortation, and comfort. Right? Edify, exhort, and comfort. Those three things are what are linked to prophecy. So if someone's saying something and it doesn't accomplish those three things, we gotta wonder. Like, okay, with you saying this, what's the point? You know? So someone preaching fear isn't accomplishing one of those three things. Because if anything, we are to look forward to the day of Christ. It's a joy, not to be afraid, right? You know, here comes China, they're going to invade. My focus isn't on a nation. Right, exactly. My focus isn't on a nation. My focus is on Christ. So whether they invade or not, I don't care. You know, I don't care about a nation. I care about a person. I'm not seeking for signs. I'm seeking for a person. You know, does that make sense what I'm saying?
And it always interests me how people tie the fall of America to end times. I never understood that. It's like the revelations don't mention anything about America.
America doesn't even exist.
Probably won't be there.
Right? Yeah. Yep. So, coming full circle. I would look at the administration gifts, the ones that encourage and edify the body now. Teaching, right? Pastoring, we can go through gifts later, but we went over it last year on gifts. I gave you that paper that has signed gifts and administration gifts. Okay, all the signed gifts are over here. Apostle, no more. We can't have apostles nowadays. Why? Because an apostle had to have seen Jesus Christ and been with him since the beginning. So no one's allowed that. No one's allowed that authority. No one's allowed that title. Because you had to have seen Jesus and been with him since the beginning. Look at Acts chapter 6. Right? So apostles done. Boom. No more apostles. Okay? Prophets. Maybe. What are they forth-telling? What are they bringing to a group of people or a nation or a person they haven't heard before? Forth-telling. Less about the world coming to an end and more about, hey, do you know that since you have been saved, you can't lie anymore? Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery or murder. That's prophesying. That builds up and edifies. Hey, now that you're saved, don't do that. That's forth-telling. They don't know that stuff. You're revealing something new to them that they don't know, right? What else was there? Evangelist, yes. Teacher, yes. Healing, I don't think it's all the sign gifts like healing is done as far as it being given to a mass amount of people, right? But I do think God can perform a miracle, absolutely. But in order for it to be a God-performed miracle, man has to have exhausted all that they can and can't fix the problem. Man has to exhaust all of his stuff. If chemo cures cancer, that's not a miracle. That's chemo. Which I thank God for, right? Thank God for. But it wasn't God, it was chemo. If I've done chemo, I've done radiation, cancer's still there, I pray and it goes away, that's a miracle. Because man has exhausted all of his resources and it didn't go away. When the doctor says, I can't explain this, that's a miracle. That's when we are doing backflips in the aisles of church, right? Praise the Lord. See the difference? If modern medicine heals someone, thank God, but it wasn't a miracle. If modern medicine tried and failed, and out of the blue, God takes it away, that's a miracle. I think that gift is gone as far as it being given to a mass group of people.
And you cut your finger and you start to bleed, eventually it will stop bleeding anymore. A doctor can explain what's happening, but there isn't one on the planet that can say why that happens.
That's right. Yeah, totally. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you guys see the difference? Does that help, Dom?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. All right. The last thing we'll just talk about in chapter 16, another thing we see commonly is a financial offering that Paul went around to the Gentile churches and collected. You won't see the word tithe in the New Testament. Tithing's good. It's a good principle. 10% is a good principle. But the word tithe is not in the New Testament. So the church just gives as the Lord puts on their heart. That's the New Testament principle in Corinthians 9, right? And the main context of that giving was, hey, the church started in Jerusalem, and people went out and told others, and you wouldn't have heard about Jesus unless they went out. You owe them your spiritual birth. Why not help them out financially? Because the system that the first church used, which we will never be an Acts 2 church as far as this goes. So if anybody here says, we need to be an Acts 2 church, they're going to go bankrupt. Okay? They're going to go bankrupt. Because what they did was they sold all their land, sold all their goods, and they distributed it. You're going to go bankrupt really quick. So they don't believe in socialism. Okay? Or communism. It won't work. So the Gentiles had to take up a love offering to relieve the church in Jerusalem. So when Paul went back, he had all this money, all the Gentile churches around Macedonia and Achaia and all that stuff, all those cities that took up a financial offering, they brought it down and relieved the church of Jerusalem. So that's what you see also in a lot of Paul's letters, is that theme of giving a love offering to the church of Jerusalem. All right. Any questions on that?
How many love offerings did they
Do they need?
Yeah.
I don't know how many they needed. I know that two were mentioned. Yeah.
Just goes to show you how much that doesn't work.
Right, yeah. Any thoughts?
I did find the spiritual gifts mentioned in Ephesians.
Yes, Ephesians 4.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Which I think Ephesians 4 is the best picture of a New Testament church. I think that's a beautiful picture of what a mature church looks like. Yep. Barry, will you pray for us?
Lord, thank you for all our gifts that we have, and help us recognize what they are, and help us to utilize them to edify the things that Jesus did, and to strengthen us and help us to be faithful and walk in your path and your light. I say these in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.